Welcome to Sue Watches Angel as we draw season two of Angel to a close with Over the Rainbow, Through the Looking Glass, and No Place Like Clerksburg. I'm Em.
And I'm Sue.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Is this the first one we've done after the season finale of Bates?
Yes.
All right. So, Bates is done, guys.
Yep.
Our full attention is going to be on Buffy and Angel again. For the most part.
Yep.
Bates was amazing, and it took a lot of our thoughts because we had a great season.
It was a great season of Bates.
And yep. We apologize. I mean, it made our Sue Watches Buffy's come out slower and less fast-paced, and I think they might have suffered a little bit for it, but it's, you know, the prices you pay.
Yep.
For good Bates.
Exactly. So, but we're back.
We're back, and we're going to finish off season two.
Okay, so we're going to start with some just general what we've been watching. But first, we do have a couple of feedback emails from listeners talking about shows. One of them is from Iggy, and this is about The Fall. And she says, I finished it all. Towards the end, Gibson was getting super emotional. I mean, she spends every waking hour about the investigation. It's understanding. She gets him to speak and confess. I like his character. And Jesus Christ, why Jimmy had to shoot her boy toy and Peter Paul George. I did notice how she went to grab Peter. Boy toy was in shock, but you could see his eyes are like, why the F are you holding him? I'm annoyed with Katie and how she became mad trying to protect Peter Paul George. But he did have that effect on his women, including his wife and daughter. Slapped the silly out of her. Clever show and kept me pressing. Play next. I think season three is already on TV. I have to find out. Yeah, since it's been a while, is Peter Paul George the murderer?
I think so. I remember the names Peter and Paul. I don't know about George.
Okay.
I don't know where George comes from.
And Boy Toy is that cop that she slept with.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay.
That was, yeah, I finished it, and it was really good, and yes, very surprising at the end.
Yes.
It got interesting with wondering what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Should we do a spoiler alert?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to be spoiling up through season two of The Fall for the next few minutes. If I can remember good details about it.
I know, I'm the same way. It does. It's even been longer since I saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember just that second season is just so intense with, isn't that when the cops come into his house and like the one steps through the ceiling, like he's up in the attic, and so they have to make it look like it's a water damage.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah, and
the woman getting kidnapped.
Yeah, that was I think at the very beginning. Yeah, because there's a girl that I think at the very end of season one that he has a botched killing and ends up killing, I think, does
her
he
brother.
kill her brother and
Yeah.
doesn't quite kill her.
Right.
And so he kind of left a witness, and then he, like, so
Became
arrogant, he becomes her therapist,
her grief counselor. Yeah.
her
Yeah.
grief
I.
counselor, and kidnaps a woman that he had dated years ago that said that he had done some weird things with that kind of freaked her out.
Right.
So he kind of punished her for talking to the police. And then the whole season's kind of like the big goal is to find her before she gets killed.
Yeah, and they find that body and they really think it's her, but it ends up not being her.
Yeah.
But they have to pretend it's her.
Yeah, they tell her husband that now just ignore what we do on the news.
Oh man, can you imagine?
No.
That's just so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. That was good. That
It
was
was good.
intense. But then, yeah, the ending is like in that forest, and doesn't he end up like dying in Gillian Anderson's arms? Like,
We don't have word that he's dead.
oh. Okay.
He's looking, that way, but yeah, it was almost, it got, I think they were trying to go for like an ambiguous, is she like getting obsessed with him? Like he's getting obsessed with her.
Yeah, she does seem, I mean, she really lives and breathes that case like crazy.
Yeah.
And does seem to kind of become kind of obsessed with him, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a se obsessed,
Well,
attached.
she's got some weird issues of her own with men, anyway.
Yes.
So.
She definitely does.
Yeah. Yeah,
She's an
it's.
interesting character.
She is.
Gillian Anderson's always good.
She's great, and her English accent kind of threw me off, but I guess she actually kind of has one. I guess she's living in England for like years now.
I
From
thought
what
she
I.
always was English. She just did an American accent
Is that what it is?
for X-Files, I think.
They were joking about it when she was on Chris Hardwick's Nerdist. Because she didn't seem to be using much of an English accent in that interview, but maybe she was. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know until I just all of a sudden was like cluing in. I thought, oh, she's an English actress. I guess I never knew that. But maybe I'm wrong.
I know she currently lives there, and she was talking about how her kids have English accents or something like that. I don't know. It's been a while.
Well, how did she talk in The Nerdist?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think she had much of an English
Oh,
accent.
maybe she just is, I'm looking her up now. Now I
Maybe
need to know.
it's one of those where she was born in England and had one, and then lived a long time in America and lost it, and now she's back in England
Yeah, maybe.
or something.
Born in Chicago, Illinois. That surprises me. She has English, German, and Irish ancestry. But no, looks like she's from Chicago.
Huh. Well, I know she said she's been living in England for years now. 'Cause I remember thinking, why would this? I just thought it was interesting that a BBC show would hire an American actress to play an English when there's plenty of English actresses. Unless they just really wanted Jillian,
Yeah, but she's done enough English stuff that made me think she must just be English, so.
Interesting.
She must just be popular
Good.
there and do a good accent. That's what I'm going with.
But yeah, The Fall. Check it out. Seasons 1 and 2 are on Netflix. And it's good, interesting. If you like kind of intense murder mystery stuff. It's a good one.
Yeah, very, very worth watching. There's a. It takes an interesting route where you get. You know, there's a lot of shows that do some killer point of view stuff, but this does more than I've ever seen. Almost at least half the time you're with him.
Yeah, and his family, and yeah.
Yeah, his wife and his daughter. I found the, in the second, especially the second season, I found the, like, the babysitter character very interesting.
Yeah, she, you were just kind of like, you stupid little 15-year-old,
I
you know?
know.
Yep. But they did some interesting things with her. She ended up being a good part of the story.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part. It was weird and just crazy.
I really like that scene when they're following her and like one guy walks into the bank with her, and then she comes out, and someone else follows her onto the bridge, and she locks that lock, and then someone else follows. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
There's just all these people following her. That's smart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, The Fall. Watch it.
Watch it.
We give it our stamp of approval.
It's the yes mother stamp of approval. For sure.
Yep.
Okay. Were we gonna read Matt's feedback now?
Yeah, if you want to read Matt's email that we got.
Okay, yesterday we got a little email from Matt A with a little, well, he calls it a new what we've been watching recommendation for you. And he says, Sue and M, a new what we've been watching recommendation for you, the very charming and funny Austin Land. I saw trailers for this back when it was in cinemas, but since I never go to the cinema, except maybe once per year, it completely dropped off my radar until I went to IMDb surfing. I went IMDb surfing. Whoops, sorry. Fortunately, my library had a copy. I watched it this week and it was great. The premise, if you're not aware, Carrie Russell plays a diehard Jane Austen fan who goes LARPing at an English estate. She's bought a Jane Austen fantasy experience, although sadly only the copper package. Can't make this stuff up. Another guest at the retreat is Jennifer Coolidge, who gets most of the best lines. I like her. BSG's James Callis plays one of the retreat's actors slash gentleman suitors.
Nice.
Tom Hiddleston, clone JJ Field, is the resident Mr. Darcy. Brett McKenzie of Flight of the Conchords does his adorable Brett McKenzie thing. Such a good cast, and strange seeing Carrie Russell playful and lighthearted when she's so intimidating and scary on The Americans. That's a show I need to check out. I've heard nothing but good.
The Americans is good.
I really enjoyed this flick, and I have a feeling you both will as well. Tally ho, Matt from the Arizona Territories. Thanks, Matt. I've only heard of this movie once, and it was from two movie reviewers that watched it at, I don't remember where it was. Cannes, could have been at Cannes, one of the, wherever it premiered. It could have been Sundance. And just called it boring. But I don't think they were very into that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing the trailer for this a couple times and thinking, well, that looks kind of fun. You know, I like Jennifer Coolidge. You know,
Yeah, and
grew up
I don't
reading
think
Jane Austen.
two 30-something single male film
Right.
buffs are their audience.
Right, but I found it interesting that we did get it recommended by a guy,
That's true.
you know. So, yeah, I'm gonna check it out. I like James Callis. He was Dr. Baltar on Battlestar Galactica.
Saw a few episodes of those, but as far as it went.
I don't know who J.J. Field is. And yeah, Keri Russell, I think the only thing I've ever seen her in is The Americans, and I like her a lot in that. I mean, I've always been aware of who she is, but never watched whatever. Felicity, was that her show?
Yeah, she was the one that got the haircut.
Oh, yeah. That scandalous haircut.
The famous haircut.
Yeah, I never saw that show, but I like her a lot in The Americans. I think she's great. So, yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I'm totally checking it out. Because I like this kind of stuff.
Do you know what LARPing is?
Live action roleplay.
Yep. Very good.
I only know that from a Supernatural episode.
Oh.
Called LARPing in the Real World or something.
So,
it was a play on Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember how it went. Anyway.
But yeah, no, thanks for the recommendation. I, like I said, when I saw the trailer, it's certainly not something, I'm kind of the same. I rarely go to the theater to see a movie. But I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, I hope that streams on Netflix or something. So.
Yeah, I wonder if it's available to rent on iTunes or something.
Yeah. We're in the library. So. So cool. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Was that it? Did we have anything else?
Yeah, we have a comment from Iggy on Sue Watches Buffy. She says, what happened in 2002? I am knee-deep in True Detective, and it's only one season. Sad face. Matt and Woody, what a dynamic duo. I am up to the final three episodes. I just read that season two is in June 2015. I really like the show because they cast major players that normally would be in a movie. Season two cast will include Rachel McAdams, Vince Vaughn, and Colin Farrell. P.S. I have a suggestion for another movie to watch, Age of Adeline. Amazing movie, and I was crying from the beginning to the end. Two thumbs up. And that's in theaters now, is it?
I don't know. I don't think I've heard of this.
I think I've seen the preview a few times, and it seems like it's a girl that doesn't age or something, and you see her in a few different...
Oh.
Like... times of the world or something. I don't really know. I could be just really weird, but... that's the impression I got.
Interesting. I'll look it up, see what that's all about.
So True Detective happens to be another thing I watched. I was in the middle of True Detective after having binged The Fall and thinking, what odd choices I made to watch while my husband's gone.
No doubt.
I'm watching these like late into the night alone in an empty house. I got two kids, but, you know.
Right.
I just thought, oh, and I watched one movie, and it was The Babadook. I was like, I'm so stupid!
I was saving that to watch with Booker.
Mm. I'll talk about it in a minute.
Cool.
True Detective, though. Man, that was so good.
Isn't it good?
It was so good.
It seriously totally sold me on Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, I need to talk about that. Because, do you remember, like, 2 weeks ago, there was a Bates Motel episode that I watched, like, four times that week, and I had trouble watching it the first time where I had to keep, like, restarting it because it was, like, crashing or something on my computer. Mm-hmm. I swear, I was watching it on the A&E app, and the only commercial they had was a Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercial.
Oh, the Lincoln commercial.
And I was going to wring his neck. It's not about saving trees.
Yeah, yes.
And I
was driving Lincoln. I was driving Lincoln before I was famous.
Yeah. It's not that one, it was a new one. And it was about the hybrid Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
where you're getting this happy medium between saving the planet and doing what's good for you. But
Right.
it's just totally the same as the other one, where he's just kind of deadpanned and
Yep.
talking the exact same way. And I was like, that commercial, I seriously, you know how you can get where you're just like, if I see that again, I'm probably gonna kill somebody. Where I'd like just take, I just took off my headphones. I got to that point. And I'm like, I knew that I was getting the free HBO Go for a little while, and I was going to have to watch True Detective. And in the same vein here, I've been talking to Dave Maresca from the DMV Podcast Empire. He's been messaging me, wondering if I'd seen it, because he's going to do a little podcast about it. Just a quick. He's got some podcasts where they just. It's a podcast where they just will like highlight one show and talk about it. You know, it's
Oh,
not like
okay,
he's
right.
starting a podcast for True Detective.
Right.
And he wanted to know if I'd seen it, if I'd be on it. And I'm like, I'm actually making plans to watch it like this week. And I actually think we're gonna record some tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
If Scout's track meet gets over quick enough. But anyway, so I knew I was watching it. I was all like, it was all in the plans. And that commercial, and I knew he was in it, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I honestly didn't know if I can handle him. And he's so good. He's
I
so
know.
different. I mean, it does look like him, but in some ways it doesn't, and in some ways
Yep.
it sounds like him, and in some ways he doesn't. If I wasn't as familiar with Matthew McConaughey as I am, I don't know if I'd recognize him.
Wow.
But he was so good. I
Oh, he's
loved
so
his
good,
character
and
so much.
yeah, he's just always been one of those where I never hated him, but I just was just like, eh.
Yeah, I've never hated him either till that commercial. And that was just the
Yeah.
commercial. It could have been anybody, and I wanted to kill them because I saw it so many times.
Right. That's the problem with watching it on like the A&E website is you do have to suffer through the commercials, but it's the same like three
Yeah.
the whole time, and you're like, no, you
Sometimes
know.
it'll be like, okay, it's gonna start in 150 seconds, and it'll just play the same commercial,
The same
so
one
it'll
over and
just
over.
start it
Yeah.
over and then start it over again. And it's
Yep.
like,
Yep.
you need to.
You need to chill your own ass.
This is not working for me.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Anyway, so yeah, mine was stuck on that commercial. Anyway.
Yeah, 'cause when I was thinking when I saw True Detective, you know, when I had access to HBO Go, I was like, "Ooh, True Detective. I've heard that's good." And I love Woody Harrelson. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm just kind of whatever about Woody. I mean, I love him in like Zombieland. There's a few times where I've just loved him, but
I really, really, really like him.
for the most part, I'm
And
just like, meh.
yeah, I just remember being kind of conflicted. It's like, I love Woody, so I want to watch this, but it's got Matthew McConaughey, and he kind of bugs me, you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, within, see, like, 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, I can watch this.
Oh, it did not take long to be like, this is
Nope.
okay.
Yep. I love how the show is even just the whole like non-linear aspect. I love it how at times it's the two of them separately being interviewed about this crime that had happened, you know, what, like a decade before. And but then you see them trying to solve that crime 10 years earlier. I just really enjoyed all of that.
Yeah, and there was a mystery to it, you know, kind of a what happened to get them to where they are now? And you know, they obviously hadn't
Exactly.
seen each other for a while. It's not like they
Yep.
were best friends ever. I love how much Rudy is it? I love how much Rudy annoyed him. I wish I remembered exact lines, but he'd just like say something kind of deep, and he's and Woody's like, "Wait, what was his name?"
I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I've seen it.
I want to look it up.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, because Rudy would have like these little like, I don't know, Buddha type
Yeah,
sayings.
he just funny, awesome things would just deep, just like he could taste color. Like
Right. Exactly.
he's just, how about we make the car a no? I don't remember.
Marty,
Marty.
it's Rusty and Marty.
Rusty. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, that those were some good. Woody had some good lines there. But yeah, it's interesting because you can tell something happened and there's like, because yeah, they were partners like thrown together
Right.
and just never really connected the way some partners do, you know. But they were professionals and, you know, worked this case together, but you could tell something happened and there was like really bad blood. And now they're being interviewing about parts of the case that they had, you know, been working on together. And I just love the end. I just love how, like, at the end, there's Rusty again, and he's been working still, you know?
Yeah, just the reveals. It was orchestrated beautifully.
It was.
And I really enjoyed how Marty seemed like a really decent guy. And the more you got to know him, the more you were like, ew.
Yep. He just thought he was like this nice family man. I like the girl that plays his, who is that, Michelle Monaghan. I like her. But yeah, I mean, he's not as good of a guy as you think
Nope.
at first.
Nope, I thought that was really cool. Oh, speaking of his wife, oh, she made me so mad. I think there might have been just a little bit of mama bearing Rusty, maybe.
Oh, I can totally see it. I can see Rusty climbing into bed.
Quite nicely. Right in there.
I just love how he just in those interviews he's just like drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and he just doesn't care.
You know, at first I thought he was in jail until it was apparent after fairly soon that he wasn't
Yeah.
an inmate.
Right.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was so good.
it's really good. And it's an interesting case too.
Yeah,
It's
very
not
disturbing.
very disturbing. It's not just like some dead body was found in a field or something. It's pretty, there's a lot more to it. There's, yeah. Oh man, I just had a vision of like when they go to that house and that weird, was it like a cave or a maze or something?
It looked kind of like an overgrown rubble
Yeah.
that they had let get overgrown for like 100 years or something, and then made kind of like stick archways through it. It was
Yeah,
crazy.
it's got some really cool sets and scenes
It
and
was
stuff.
gorgeous.
Yeah. And it's set in Louisiana, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Now, we talked before I'd seen it, and it was driving me crazy because you said something on one of our podcasts about the time when Woody sees the footage and you don't see what it is, but he like has a reaction to it that tells you how awful it is.
Okay.
Anyway, you were telling me about it, and while I was watching the scene, I'm like, what was Sue telling me about that?
I don't remember now.
I'm gonna have to probably just find the Darn it, I wish you remembered, because now I'm going to have to go back to the podcast and see, because it was driving me crazy. It's like, why did Sue bring that up and tell me? What was she trying to tell me?
No, I don't know. It's been so long now. I don't remember why I would have pointed that out. Interesting.
I wish I kept better show notes and could tell right away which one we discussed True Detective, but I don't.
I've got to say it was either last fall or even last summer. It's been quite a while. So, well, cool. I'm glad you like it. That'll be...
Loved it.
I'll have to listen to you and Dave talk about it on his podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like an idiot. I better, like, brush up a little bit. No, it was the fall that I was sounding like an idiot.
What do you think of the cast for the next one that's is starting, like, in a week or two, I think? Like, really soon.
Yeah, I have never been a Colin Farrell fan at all.
Yeah,
like,
me neither.
Negative fan.
Yeah, I really kind of don't like him.
Yeah, I've never, but maybe they do a thing like the Matthew McConaughey thing, so.
Yeah.
Let's keep an open mind, but no, he's not my favorite by a long shot. Not as bad as Russell Crowe, but kind of
right.
In the same wheelhouse. Vince Vaughn, I don't know.
Vince Vaughn, I don't know. I don't hate him, but
yeah.
I'm not like, yay, Vince Vaughn.
No.
You know?
The same. That
I don't know.
A little just kind of...
I have a feeling that after the Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey duo, it's going to be like, oh, you know?
Yeah, although those are two actors I'm really just meh about, so...
Yeah. Rachel McAdams I like. I'm just on IMDb, and it looks like Taylor Kitsch is in it. Isn't he from Friday Night Lights? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tim Riggins.
Yeah, Riggins. And I think this one is set in L.A. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, because it can't be just, it's got to be just like a completely different way of even filming it, you know? Like, I doubt they have Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn in separate rooms being interviewed. You know?
Should be totally different.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But I'm going to trust it to be good. I mean,
yeah,
oh, it's just so well done.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. So right on. I'm glad.
I don't know how I'm going to watch it.
Oh, because your free HBO thing will be done?
Stupid, by the time I went to it.
Yeah.
I guess there was only a window where you could get 30 days. It was only 7.
Oh. Bummer.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it'll probably be worth it just when it's done to get it for a month. $14.99, is it?
I think so.
I think that'd be cheaper than any other way, unless I wanted to wait for it to, like, come on DVD or something, which
right.
would take forever. It'd probably be worth it just to do a month.
Probably, because you would probably pay more to, like, buy the season on iTunes.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think... Can you do that? You can't do it while it's going. I know. Because I tried to do that with Dexter.
Oh.
You know how, like, with Breaking Bad, you could buy the package.
Right.
And watch it along. You can't do that with HBO stuff.
Oh.
You have to wait until it goes out on DVD.
I'd probably just pay the $15 for 1 month, watch it, and some other stuff,
yeah,
make it worth your money.
It won't just be that. I could Watch lots of stuff. I wanted to watch that Kurt Cobain thing.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that, too.
But I just did not have time. And then I figured out I canceled it a day early, and then I was mad.
You fail.
I did fail.
Free HBO fail.
I really did. What sucked is I was putting it off because I'm like, okay, I want my 30 days, but I'm not ready to start it. I'm going to be starting it in 3 days, and it looks like in that little window, I missed the 30-day window where they changed it. So stupid.
That's a bummer. Well, yeah.
I got to watch True Detective for free.
Yeah, that's worth it right there.
It was. And I didn't have that stipulation that you were like, and Patrick, my hair guy, he's uh-huh. like, you both of them, you both of you told me, you can't watch more than one a day. I was like, watch. I could have watched it all day, but I had stupid stuff to do.
Yeah, it was one of those, I would watch it like at night before going to bed. And just the one would end, and I'd be like, I think I'll just let that all sink into my head tonight, and then I'll watch the next one. It's not like, I think if I would have had like 2 or 3 days off,
yeah,
I probably could have done that, just watched it over and over. But it was more like, I'll watch a True Detective tonight before I go to sleep. Okay, so why don't we just continue on? What else have you watched?
Well, like I mentioned, I watched The Babadook.
Yeah. What did you think?
It was good. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for it mentally. It was like terrifying in like a horrifying way. It's really hard to explain. it was terrifying in ways I didn't expect. Like, mother and young son stuff. Nothing nefarious. Just, he's kind of, he starts out as being kind of the, like, bad behaved, but like ADD kind of, like, disturbed kid stuff. Okay. And he does kind of some disturbing things and kind of just like yells and is kind of annoying. And she's just like the single mom and she just looks so tired. Her life looks so hard. It was very realistic. I belong to some Facebook posts with parents that live with very disturbed children in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a daughter with a disability, people just they put me in Facebook groups. Oh, Emily has a disabled kid, I'm going to put her in this group. You know,
gotcha.
People can just add you to groups. And so I find myself on some groups, and then I just... And, you know, I have a different life than I think
I'm opting out.
Yes. You guys have real problems, I don't. Eleanor's like, easy breezy, great. Our life is great. You
right.
People have problems. You know, like, real disturbing stuff, where it's their reality that... And I hear these stories, they just are on my newsfeed on Facebook, and I'm like, oh man, I like my life, you know?
Right.
And so I get enough of that in real life, and then to watch this, it was... I know that this is reality to some people, and so it just kind of, it was... And then there's some scary stuff that goes on. Basically, he just finds this book called The Babadook. Like, it just appeared in their house, and it kind of looked personal as she starts reading it, and it really, like, scares her son, who already has problems sleeping talks about
monsters
a lot. Does he have, like,
those night terrors and stuff?
Yeah, that kind of thing. And then, you know, he starts talking about the Babadook, and you kind of know that he's actually real. Because you can tell that, oh yeah, there's a, you know, something going on here.
Gotcha.
They just let the Babadook into their lives. And then, you know, she'll, like, burn the book and it comes back kind of stuff. And it just, it gets, it's pretty psychologically terrifying. It really is. It really scarred me. I almost turned it off a few times because it really freaked me out. And then I'm like, no, you know what? I'm just going to finish. I can do this. I wasn't prepared for the kind of scary it was. It wasn't just creepy, shadowy, scary guy. It was like affecting the mom and affecting the boy in really freaky ways to me. Like, disturbing ways. It was on a different level, I thought. It was good. But, man, be prepared.
Interesting, yeah, because I don't know much about it. I know I heard someone mention it on a podcast, and then I saw it just recently hit Netflix, and I was like, oh yeah, someone.
Yeah, a lot of people brought it up on their top 10 movies of the year kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, so.
And
I
was
like,
good.
Oh.
It's Australian.
Oh, is it? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I just figure I put it on my list on Netflix and just figured, well, next time Booker spends the weekend, we'll watch it. And then since we're doing a Wyoming trip this weekend and we like to watch scary movies while we're out there, I was like, maybe we could watch that while we're out there. But Emily has already seen it.
I've seen it and it doesn't, it's heavy. It's a lot heavier than what we usually like.
Okay.
I can tell you that much. I mean, it'd be fine. It's scary and it's a little heavier than I was prepared for and what we would normally watch.
Right. Right on.
And
well, I'm interested.
Yeah. Other than that, I was about 8 episodes behind on like Supernatural this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to catch up on that and it's actually the season finale was tonight. And it was, supposed to be a biggie. Big things are going on, so I don't know what happened, but I missed it. I'll have to watch it, and I don't know when I'll have time. But I don't want to get spoiled, so I need to make time tomorrow early-ish, but I'm so busy. I'm not sure that's going to happen. It's Teacher Appreciation Week at Eleanor School, and I'm involved in, like,
bunch
of stuff. Plus, I have an IEP meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's individualized education plan for those that don't have a special needs child.
Oh, gotcha. Well, shoot. You missed the season. Is it the series or just the season?
Supernatural?
Supernatural.
It's just the season. It's number 10. They're going on.
Wow.
I know they're going on at least one more year. I don't know. I think they could wrap it up. I just think that sometimes it's just time to be done. Speaking of being done, I also did watch The Mad Men. That's worth mentioning. Mad Men ended this week.
Mm-hmm. And? For a series ending, how was it?
It was so great.
Nice.
I mean, you know, they're always going to be controversial. Especially for a show like Mad Men.
Right.
That's so high expectations. And, man, the fans were really bugging me this last season. I listened to, like, a podcast about it. And it's like, I don't want them spending time on this. It's like, everyone's like, they spent 5 minutes on this and they didn't need to. And everyone's just so worried about wrapping up stories and wrapping up stories, and I'm just like, just bip and watch it, people. You trusted when has Matt Weiner let you guys down? Come on. The man has proven time and time again that he is an absolute genius. Just shut up and watch it. Yeah, there was so much talk.
Oh, that's so funny.
I can't believe, you know, there's only 6 episodes left and they spent time on this. It drove me mad.
Yeah, there's a Walking Dead podcast I listened to. They kind of were doing that with the last couple episodes of season 5. Was that the one that just played? Yeah, I think 5. They were kind of doing that. Like, we don't care about these two.
Let them tell their story. It's their story. I'm sorry. It's theirs, not yours.
Exactly. It's like, you write a show and run it and produce it.
And, you know, with all that talk, I think it was really interesting. They wrap some things up, like, really well, more than I thought they would. Because I was thinking it'd be, you know, Mad Men is known for being ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
It's known for having, like, next time on Mad Men being, like, the most ambiguous thing you've ever seen in your life. Like, you can't get anything from it. You know, really
right.
Good luck trying to depict what's going to happen next by the little trailer thing. It's very well known for that. And so I was really expecting, and there's always been talk that it's not going to wrap everything up in a neat little bow.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually, I wouldn't say wrapped up things, but ended stories for us, you know, our viewing of these people's lives a lot better than I thought they would. Like,
cool.
With a, you know, like an actual ending-ish. It's hard to explain. Everyone's lives. You were left with the impression that everyone's lives are going to go on. The path they're on right now is good. And they did that to, like, everybody. And
cool.
They did stuff for some characters I didn't expect they would. It's not a shippy show, but they...
Mm-hmm.
There was a very popular... Even though it's not a shippy show, there was a popular fanship that they actually did that I think surprised everybody.
Oh, right on.
So that was fun.
Well, cool.
And have you been spoiled at all what they did?
Nope.
When are you going to watch Mad Men?
I don't know. I don't think that amputation's happening anytime soon.
It's not, so you need to just...
I just keep, like, thinking, and it's like, like, the next, like, 3 or 4 months, my life is just totally already planned out. I don't have... I mean, we've got Wyoming this weekend. We're going camping the next weekend. Wyoming the next weekend. There's still the garden, and then after garden, there's canning. Probably canning. So, like, August, September.
Yeah, and like I've said, you know, I did fall into a rabbit hole, but you really don't have to.
Okay. I think I just kind of think of how you did it, where, I mean, geez, you watched, what, 6 seasons in, like, 3 weeks? I can't do that.
Did I?
It wasn't very long.
It wasn't very long.
I mean, maybe I'll give you 3 or 4 months, but I think that's I think that's longer than it took you, though.
I think I probably was able to knock out maybe a season a week. It might have been a little more than that. I kind of remember it being a little more than a season a week, maybe a season and a half a week. It was a show that was always on my radar.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew it was, like, ad executives in the 60s, and I've always been like obsessed with the 60s, so it was just something I shelved that knew I would like.
I've always planned on watching it. You know, there's other people in my life that have watched it and loved it and are like, I can't believe you're not watching this, you know?
Yeah, well, so I knew all that. What I didn't know, I don't know why, it just spoke to me immediately. Mm-hmm. Episode one, I was so all in, it's not even funny. And there was no looking back. There was something about the storytelling, the characters, everything about it. And I know, you know, that's easy to say because it's very popular and people love it. But, yeah, I loved it. And it grabbed me from the first few minutes and it never let go.
No, I'm looking forward to it because I really, you know, I really have enjoyed just everything I've ever seen John Hamm do now, which isn't much.
Mm-hmm.
But his little, you know, part in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the Doctor's Notebook, just seeing him host Saturday Night Live, just seeing him on Jimmy Fallon, you know, he's very enjoyable, very funny. So I'm looking forward to, like, actually seeing the show that kind of made him the star he is, you know.
Well, he's you know, he's not real funny in it, but
I just find him interesting. Yeah, he doesn't have to be real funny. I just like him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Don Draper is gonna be. He's gonna go down in history as, you know, one of the characters you always be talked about.
Right.
That's a name. That's a household name. You know, whether you've seen the show or not.
Oh sure, yeah.
It was good, and I was thrilled. I was absolutely just tickled and thrilled with just all of it. I loved it.
Nice.
Loved the end. Loved the ambiguity. I feel like I know exactly what happened, and I love it. But you can also interpret it a lot of ways, and that's so great. Everyone can have their own interpretation on what actually happened. It's hard
right.
to talk about.
That's kind of cool how it can end like that and people can take away what they want, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really, there's quite a array of things you could say happened and no one can like say for sure you're wrong.
Right.
Which is very cool.
That's cool.
That's an awesome show. Man, that's an awesome show. I am really sad to see it go, but they did it well, and I think I'm gonna do a rewatch this summer. I'm so excited. See you guys in a few weeks. Emily out.
I'll be hosting this alone. Oh, that's funny.
Rob just texted me. They got burglarized their little apartment thing. And he just updated me that they caught him.
Oh, good.
He lost a little over $100 in cash, but they took shorts and shoes and two of Rob's hats. You know, just stuff.
Wow.
And they retrieved all the personal items except for one pair of shorts and one of his roommate's shoes. But the cash is gone. But I think he's just really excited to get the hats back. And it sucks when you're, you know, you minimalist pack because you're like,
right,
you know, and to have two pairs of your shorts gone. He's still got a week left.
Jeez.
Anyway, so that's great.
That's good. He got cut.
I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, I finished up Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And
that show's done, right?
That show's done, yep. So all 7 seasons are now, like, on Netflix. So you can start watching that if you want.
See, get the bets placed about who I'm getting Mama Bear.
About who you're getting Mama Bear, yep. But yeah, I really, it ended just how it should have ended. I like how it ended. It was sad, but not surprising. So I like how they wrapped up that story.
Good.
And I do, I think you'd like it, Em. I really do.
Do it? All right.
I kind of think you would. The Cam and I have watched the first three episodes of Daredevil, and we're in.
Are you? Did you listen to the film spotting SVU?
I did.
That Matt didn't really like it. I was really surprised.
Yeah, but Matt is just so much more of like a comic book geek than I am. I think he,
Hard to impress.
yeah, I kind of think he's hard to impress, and I think he is just a little bit of a fanboy that's like, oh, I don't like the way they did, you know,
Right.
where I have read comic books, but I've never read Daredevil, so, you know, I'm not gonna nitpick it, you know.
Right.
But I am only three episodes in. But so far, I like the guy that's playing Matt Murdock, who is Daredevil. I like his partner Foggy, and then the girl that's in it, she was Jessica in True Blood, and I was really happy to see her, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing that she got cast in the Netflix Daredevil series, so because. Jessica ended up being like one of my very favorite vampires on True Blood. I loved her. And I really liked the girl that played her, so I'm happy to see her.
I'm not sure I know who Jessica is.
She is the vampire that, what's the main one? The one that Sookie falls in love with? What's his name?
Bill
Bill.
or
Yeah.
Eric?
No, Bill. Bill has to make her as, because he killed a vampire, so like his punishment is that he's got to turn someone into a vampire.
I
And
think
he
I saw that
picks like a
maybe.
17-year-old girl.
Yeah, I think I saw maybe the turning into. Like I said, I've read all the books and that doesn't happen, but I've seen, I think it's two seasons.
Yeah, it happens in like the first season, I think.
Okay.
Like the ending, yeah.
Yeah, I
So,
remember the doing that.
yeah. So, as Bill's punishment for killing a vampire, he's got to turn someone else into a vampire. And it's Jessica. So,
Okay.
and at first, she's kind of annoying, but then she just really turns into a fantastic vampire. She's great.
Well, that's a series I need to finish.
It gets kind of goofy.
So do the
But I'm glad I watched it. It's fun if you could just like totally go, okay, so this little town in Louisiana has anything supernatural is in this town.
Shh.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, I'm watching it with Cam, so if it was just me watching Daredevil, I'd probably be done with it by now. But I like having shows that Cam and I watch together, so
Yeah, Rob and I have very precious few of those, but I know
we have
what you mean.
very few, and Cam is just not a binge guy. He can be occasionally, and we'll spend like a Sunday and watch like, you know, eight episodes of something. That happens maybe twice a year, you know.
Yeah.
He's just not a binge guy. Unless it's like a stupid half-hour comedy show, he can binge those. For instance, one thing that's been on a lot in my house this last week or so is Roseanne. Cam discovered Roseanne's on Netflix, and he just loves that show. I do too, so I'm down. I'm cool with it. They don't have like all 10 seasons or however many it was. It's like they just call it the Roseanne Collection.
Oh, really?
And it's like 50 episodes, and they all seem to be like season one and two. So I'm wondering if they're like gauging how many people downloaded it, and then like
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe if enough do, then they'll start adding.
Or they might have got those just as a bonus for buying something. I don't know. You know, like
Oh, maybe.
some sort
Maybe.
of just very cheap for them. So they just, all right, throw that in.
Yep. So, yeah, I would say the last week or so, we've watched maybe four Roseannes a night before going to bed. But it's fun. But I like it's when the kids are just so little and,
Yeah.
oh, it's just so 80s. And, it's the ones with George Clooney as Booker and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I'd probably enjoy the or later seasons a little better.
I kind of like the mid seasons,
Mid, yeah.
like when Becky and Darlene are dating, like Mark and David. I
Yeah.
kind of like those episodes, those years. So it's none of those.
Yeah, agreed.
But they're still fun, you know.
Sure.
I watched the movie All Good Things on Netflix. Do you know what this is?
I think it keeps showing up. It's very familiar to me. I think it keeps showing up, like, watch this.
It's the movie that Andrew Jarecki directed about Robert
Oh.
Durst.
Oh, that's what I know. This Film Spotting
Yeah.
SVU just reviewed it.
Yes.
That's where I know it from. Okay. I've been actually meaning to watch that.
So it's the movie that Andrew Jarecki made, like in 2009 or something, and about the story of Robert Durst. And it's the movie that Robert Durst saw that he liked and called Andrew Jarecki and said, "If I'm going to do an interview with anyone, I want it to be with you because you seem to get me," or
Right.
something. He liked the way that that Andrew Jarecki portrayed him.
Right, and he wanted to get his story out there under his
Right.
terms.
Yes, exactly. And it went
And you
so well.
sure did
Yeah.
that. Good job, Dirt.
So on its own, it's not that great of a movie. But Ryan Gosling's in it and he's good.
Yeah, that was intriguing to me.
Yeah, he plays Robert Durst, whose name is like Charles Marx or something. They don't use the same names. And Kirsten Dunst is in it, and she plays like his first wife, the one that goes missing in 82. And she's actually pretty good too.
So is it about her death and Susan's?
It's all three, but
Oh.
it's kind of weird how they spend almost the whole movie on the him meeting and falling in love and marrying and like their 10-year marriage with, Kathy. And then she goes missing, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's dressed as a woman, killing his neighbor, and then boom, he's killing Susan Bourbon. And it's like, oh, okay. If you didn't know the Jinx story, you'd be like, what's going on?
Oh, that's weird.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, it's almost like it would have been a little bit better if they just focused on the one story and just didn't even do the other two or something. I don't know. So, like, on its own, it's not great, but if you saw the Jinx and really like the Jinx, you should watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I've been meaning to.
It
Just forgot.
has Ryan Gosling. He's always fun. I like
Sure.
him. And Lily Rabe plays the Susan Berman character, and she's
Oh,
great.
yeah, I remember them saying that, and I'm like, that's
Yeah,
cool.
I like her.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to watch it and go, so Robert Durst saw this and thought he was being portrayed pretty good. And decided to do this interview. It's like that crazy. It's just crazy.
Is a crazy man.
Yep. And yeah, it's fun to see Ryan Gosling dressed as a woman because he does do that in Galveston. Yeah, I mean it's not a very long movie. Just it's on Netflix. It's easy to watch. It's not terrible. We watched Unbroken. I watched that again because Cam hadn't seen it. And on second viewing, I think my first viewing was more enjoyable. Probably because when I saw it the first time, it was with like Dad, Amy, Booker, Kat, Matt. It was like, was it like the day after Mom's funeral? I think. And we were
Yeah, well,
the day
one of
or the
those
day
days,
after.
'cause we
You and I had stayed in Wyoming to help go through her stuff, and
Yeah,
we
no,
were
it
like,
was
we need to go to a movie or something. We were
right.
done. And but you had Scout to take care of, so
Yeah.
you didn't go, but we all went and watched it, and I don't know. The book is just so much better. It's not a bad movie. Cam really liked it. Cam hadn't read the book. But I mean, it's good, but man, it's such a good story. Just read the book. It's called Unbroken. Read it. But if you haven't read the book and you don't know much about the story, I guess the movie would be okay. And then the other only thing I watched is the movie Saint Vincent with Bill Murray. Do you know this?
Wouldn't it come out?
It's just, it's a new, it just hit Redbox not too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Bill Murray and Melissa McCarthy. And
Oh, she neighbor, he's a weird neighbor. Okay.
Yeah, she moves in. She's like a recently divorced single mom
Right.
with a 10-year-old boy, and
He's a wacky neighbor.
he's just kind of a weird, lonely, angry, sad old man next door that like ends up being her babysitter for her son. And I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's kind of a depressing story. But Bill Murray's always fun. And I like Melissa McCarthy. I haven't seen her in much, but what I've seen, I like her. It's just kind of a depressing story. It ends up really sweet, but man,
Hard to watch.
it's kind of hard to watch because Bill Murray, his character just leads like one of the saddest lives I've ever seen. So yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I would run out and be like, you gotta see this, it's so good. But I don't know. It's worth watching. It's good. I wouldn't buy it. If it gets added to Netflix, I might watch it again sometime, you know? So, anywho, St. Vincent. Not sure if I recommend it or not.
Watch that one at your own risk.
Yes. It does end really sweet, I will say that. Because I was getting, like, depressed. I was like, ah, this is going to end really, really bad.
I don't know, I'm getting little Babadook vibes.
No, the kid's adorable. I like the kid. He's not a crazy kid. He's a good kid.
Well, I didn't mean that. Just.
Oh, like, kind of like you didn't know.
And this kid's adorable too. There's just some things.
We saw some heavy stuff.
We did.
Yeah, I think I was just kind of expecting it to be like a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be like as dark and, I don't know, sad as it was. But anyway, so that's what I've been watching.
Cool.
Yep.
Well,
So, all right. On to Buffy.
let's talk about Buffy now.
That little lead in.
Cut the cows now that you might dine on their ignoble flesh, O Most High.
You're Most High if you think that's gonna happen.
I got a plan.
Oh, thank God. What is it?
One.
We die horribly and painfully. You go to hell, and I spend eternity in the arms of baby Jesus.
Family's got its problems.
Come on, do the dance of shame.
Yours more than most.
So, all right. Well, should we start with some feedback?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Do you want me to start with Ray's?
Yeah.
All right. So we got feedback from Ray Doria. And he says, "Hello, Sue and M. I miss leaving feedback for the final two episodes of Buffy season 5, and I'm not sure if you guys are doing the last couple of Angel episodes together, like you did Buffy, or separately. Because of that, I figured I would just give my general thoughts on the end of season 5 of Buffy and the Pilea arc, and you can read when you feel it's appropriate." So, Ray, I'm only going to read the Angel part, and then we'll do your Buffy part when we do the season overview. Season 5 overview of Buffy, right, Em?
Right.
Okay. So, for Angel, Ray says, "One thing that I really like about Angel as opposed to Buffy is that there is no season-long big bad. Wolfram and Hart kind of hangs over everything as the main evil, but they don't have to be defeated by the end of the season. Because of that, it allows Angel to have smaller arcs. That allows the show to do something like the season-ending four-part Pilea arc. That is something so different from what Angel usually does, but that is a ton of fun. I said in some of my feedback early in season 2 that the main cast of characters for the show are great when they are just together and being funny, but that a lot of the cases of the week were not very good. I think that this arc allows the cast to really show their comedic side and just have fun, and I think that makes it a lot of fun for the viewer. I will admit that the first time I watched Angel, I wasn't sure what to make of the storyline at first because it was such a departure from the usually dark nature of the show, but the more I got into it, the more I enjoyed it. And now on repeated viewings, it's one of my favorite things that the show ever does. I just love it, and I think that season 2 ends on a very strong note." Ray Doria. Well, thanks, Ray. I agree. I really like this little story arc.
I just have known, I've had a feeling you'd enjoy this.
Yep. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I like it too that Angel is different without having like the big bad every season.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. It's different, and we've had a lot of interesting little subplots this season with Darla and Angel's dark side coming out, and it's been
Right.
a fun ride, and it's just structured differently, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'd be kind of redundant if they did it the big bad every season. So, and I think it's kind of cool that there is just this overall big bad that just so far has spanned the two seasons I've seen, Wolfram and Hart. I imagine they'll go on.
Probably. We also got some feedback from Harold. He says, "I haven't had the time to rewatch these episodes again, but I remember them as being wonderful and the point where Angel the series found itself and took off. I really like the growth of our three main leads in these groups of episodes, especially Cordelia, who was underused during large chunks of season 2. My favorite moment comes when Angel enchants the Pyleans with his tales of evil lawyers and the doctor with detachable body parts. And the other sh any other show would want to forget about that episode, but here they use it for a callback, Harold." I'd also like to point out that Lorne, when someone asks for him to talk about that one, Lorne's like, "Oh yeah, 'cause that's a great one."
Right.
They use as a chance to make fun of themselves a little bit, which is amazing.
That is pretty funny. Yeah. Well, thanks for the feedback, guys.
Yeah, thanks guys. I hope I didn't miss anything. I really scanned Sue Watches Buffy. I did not. Did you look through our Yes Mother to see if we had any?
I didn't see anything.
Because we told people they could go anywhere, so I don't think we did.
No,
Okay.
I didn't see anything.
I don't want to tell them that and then just totally miss it. Because we said we could handle it.
We did. Maybe we should rethink that.
No, we can. We can. I feel very discombobulated today. Ill prepared. Not ill prepared because I've seen these episodes a million times. More ill prepared, like, technical wise for the podcast. Anyway.
Right.
We're good.
We're good. We're on a bit of a time crunch this morning, and Emily made it crunchier.
I did. I went to my gym class and I shouldn't have. But I did leave it early.
Yes. So.
Okay. First off, I just think it'd be fun. So, Sue, I told you that Joss Whedon makes a cameo, mm-hmm. but you may not recognize him. And I asked you to look for him and try and decide who it might be. So I thought before we got into it, you said on Facebook that you think you might know after accusing Joss of being many Pylian, you settled on one. So who do you think he was?
He was like the green guy with like the blue tunic thing. Did he have a name?
He's called the commissioner. No, the constable.
Okay. Yeah. That's not him?
Nope. Who else did you think it might have been?
Was he the hell beast in the very beginning?
No.
Is he? One more guess. Is because my others were like joke guesses, so now I don't. Because I was like, is it the old lady? Is he
the one that buys Cordelia, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
Is he Lauren's mom?
No, but I thought you might guess that one. But you're close. He's Numfar, the dancing.
No way. The Dance of Joy?
Yep. And the Dance of Honor.
That was him?
That was him, and I'll tell you the story behind it. As I've heard it, in the writer's room, and they came up with the idea of the dance. I think he might have come up with the idea of the dance, and he's like, something like this. And he did it. And they were like, okay, you have to do it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I think I remember Tim Minear saying that story, and I think he might have directed this episode, but let me get my facts straight.
Oh, that's so funny. I was sure he was the constable.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was like, that's really funny that he, like, put on, like, a fat suit and, like, punched up his face and stuff, but I really thought that was, I was like, that's pretty funny that he puts himself in the show and makes him really gross.
Yep, it was directed by Tim Minear. So, no one on set knew. Well, at least the extras didn't. I'm not sure about the main cast.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like, came early, got himself all make-upped up, and was just on the set, and everyone just thought he was a regular extra. And there was one point where he was sitting in Tim Minear's director's chair, and someone's like, why is that extra sitting in your chair? And I should have looked it up. I believe someone was bad-mouthing a plot or something in front of this extra of Joss being Joss and right in front of him. And there were some shenanigans going on having him incognito on the set.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, he came up with the dance idea and was showing them, I want the dance to look something like this. And they were just like, you need to do it.
Oh, that is so funny. It never occurred. I was just on board with him being the constable. I wasn't even thinking anymore. Like, where's Joss?
I was trying to look at it through your eyes and thinking about who you might choose. And he was one of them. And Lauren's mother was the other one. But I thought just because I made kind of a deal about it, you'd think maybe he is a funny dancing guy. But
nope. Didn't even cross my mind. That's now I want to watch that again. I probably would have watched that little part again anyway because it made me laugh so hard.
It's great.
Oh, but it's fantastic.
You got to go watch that again. It's funny.
Knowing that it's him. Oh, that's so funny.
All right. Over the Rainbow is our first one. Okay, so we have numbers 14, 7, and 8.
And this is of the season, not of the series as a whole?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to guess 7 is through the looking glass. And 14 is over the rainbow, and 8 is there's no place like Lurch Glurk, whatever it's called.
Ding, 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 you got it.
I did?
Although I just forgot and read them all in order, so.
Oh.
Although it looks like you didn't notice.
No, because I went with 7 first, because I was like, Over the Rainbow was definitely, or not Over the Rainbow, Through the Looking Glass was my favorite of the three, so I figured that was everyone's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite too. Okay, so Over the Rainbow scores a 49 of all time, and 14.
Cool. So yeah, my first note is Joss the Hell Beast. And then I have, is the old guy Joss?
The first two people.
I was just on board with this game. I was like, is that him? I have, where is Gunn? And then, like, he shows up. I'm like, oh, there he is.
It's been a while since we saw Belonging, so I was...
Yeah, I was trying to remember, why isn't Gunn with them? And then then when he started talking, I was like, oh, yeah, that kid died. And I kind of thought this was going to be his exit. And I was like, no, I don't want him to go.
Yeah. He comes through. In fact, my notes say, yay, Gunn.
Yes.
My first note is, so Angel kind of freaks.
About Cordelia being gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how concerned he is about it.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
It is. He really cares about her. I have that girl is like a servant or a slave. I think I predicted that. Didn't I predict that?
Yes, you did. Good job.
Thank you. And then I have, I want to see that Siamese twin. Because...
I know.
When Wesley says, when they go through the portal, they might right. be like this big Siamese twin. I was like, oh, I'd really enjoy that.
Please happen. That would be some interesting shenanigans. As long as they, like, unfuse when they right. go back through.
I like them going in the car into the portal.
Yeah, and it's at, like, a movie studio, like Paramount, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is that, like, famous Paramount gates? Or do they all look like that?
They probably all look like that. But, yeah, and someone says something funny, like, are you surprised or something?
Yeah.
Oh, after the Siamese twin, I have Jin!
I have that too. Jin!
Does yours have an exclamation point?
It does!
Yay! And then I have, that's Joss. So I was just decided, that's him.
The constable?
Yep.
Done. And scene.
Yep. Got it.
Did you think Angel was calling Buffy?
Yes, I did. I have it. Because I have, who is Angel talking to on the phone? And then I have, oh, it's Gunn. I kind of thought it was Buffy.
Yeah, and this is actually right before she freaks and spirals, so it would have been really bad timing. It's a good thing he called Gunn.
Right. Yeah, I totally thought it was Buffy.
Because she didn't need any more stress. She didn't need to worry about Angel never coming back from some hell dimension. If you were watching in real time, like on TV, you would have just seen Buffy being all stressed and then been like, oh, please, Angel, don't drop this on Buffy.
Yeah, it's interesting how these shows, watching them in real time was probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, just like back to back. Mm-hmm. Just waiting for Tuesday night.
I have Brad and Jennifer. Ha ha, that dates the show. I totally forgot those two were married at one time.
Yep.
Tilly says that. I was like, oh yeah, they were. Because I was like, who's Brad and Jennifer?
They were a pretty big couple for a while. It was,
Yeah.
Till Mr. and Mrs. Smith, was it? That
I think so.
He and Angelina Jolie starred together. And...
Yep. I think that's when it happened.
I do too. Anyway. I love how annoyed that lady is about of Cordy than Vice Cordy.
Yes.
Like, Cordy's going to just annoy herself free.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, no one's going to want to own her. Because they're just going to hate her so much.
Yep.
I love it with how happy Angel is. She's like, why am I not on fire?
I know, that's cute.
I'm running to that patch of sun. I'll go get him.
Yeah, this is actually kind of a callback. Again, it's so long since we watched Belonging, but it's kind of a callback to when he stood on Cordelia's fake beach in the sun and looked really wistful. So you would have just seen that, you know, like a week before, and then he gets to actually be in the sun. So it's kind of nice.
Right.
And I love Wesley. Like, fascinating. I think he says fascinating twice in this arc, and he's just like, I just like how he, treats them like interesting science experiments or something.
Exactly. Like the science in Wesley comes out.
Yes.
I like how Lauren's like, we need to keep a low profile, and he's wearing like that bright red suit.
And like this place that's like, apparently they built the set kind of as an homage to Xena. I've never seen Xena. I might have seen 2 minutes.
I've never seen it either.
But I guess this is very Xena-like, this world. Anyway, everyone just wears, like, burlap sacks.
Exactly. Yeah, there's, like, no color. It's all, like, bland, like, tans and grays. He's just like, yeah. I need to keep a low profile. And they're all kind of dressed in the same colors as the other. They would have been better. I like to, when they're, like, fighting all those townspeople, and someone yells, I think we're winning. And then, like, the next thing you see is all tied up.
Yeah, that's Wesley again.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, we do.
And I was like, why didn't Angel just go all vamp on him?
Yeah, it's because his vampiness is a little strange in this world.
I didn't realize it at this point.
Yeah. You're not supposed to.
And then I have, did Angel spend time in the Tower of London?
Yep. No explanation there.
And then I have, Cordy's a queen. Didn't I predict that too? Didn't I say that she'd either be a slave or like a goddess or something?
You were talking about Fred.
Oh, was I?
But you said... Yeah, you're like, she's going to either be a slave or a queen. And I thought, ooh. This is fun.
Yeah, I was kind of scared for Cordy there for a minute with them calling it the curse and they bring out that little poker thing. I was like, oh.
Yeah, and apparently they did torture her with it.
Yep. Yep.
So, quickly, the book, how it, like, doesn't transfer to the next dimension? I don't know. My thought is, how many words is it to get the dimension to open up? It's like six? It's like one sentence? Why didn't they just memorize it? It was like this huge deal. Ah, you don't have the book! And make sure you have the book before we go through the dimension.
Right. They could have even just written it down like on a sticky note and put it in their pocket.
They could have, although I wonder if that wouldn't have made it either, but it probably would have.
Yeah, I did find the explanation interesting. I was like, oh, that's kind of travel timey. Like, it doesn't belong in this dimension, or it doesn't exist in this dimension that way.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, it couldn't travel over with us. I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, you would have thought that they could have, between the three of them, they could have memorized it.
Yeah, I know it's like four in all consonant words, but it wasn't that many.
Right.
Wesley's smart.
Exactly. He's got all that demon knowledge in his head.
Yeah, and they were worried about it. You know, it's not like it was an entire page of weird symbols
right.
and words. It was just only a couple words. Anyway. So, yeah, that was kind of fun little reveal that Cree was...
I know.
I loved it.
Yep, I did too.
And I love her just casualness about it. She's like, ha, guys. I loved Princess Cordelia.
She did too.
Yes, she did. I kind of say let's introduce the next two and just kind of talk.
Okay.
I don't know if they're kind of, it's just the whole Pylea arc. It's hard to kind of distinguish
right
them from each other. And I'm out of notes for that one, I think. Well, I don't, are you out of notes or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we have Through the Looking Glass, which is rank number 34 and number 7. And no place like Plurt's Glurb is number 36 and number 8, so they're just very closely ranked. I wonder if they're like the two most closely ranked in the whole series. Next to each other. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Interesting.
But I've seen these a lot, and I just didn't... These two, I just didn't write anything down except for a couple notes on funny quotes. So...
Oh, okay.
You'll just have to discuss your notes, and we'll just talk.
My first note is when Cordelia says, off with their heads. I was like, well, that wasn't very funny. What if... What if those guys acted really fast and really cut their heads off?
I know.
It's like they came to save you.
She was just a little very euphoric and I think secure, and it couldn't have been very long that she was made to
like later that day.
Yeah. It was like she had all the confidence in the world.
Yep. I liked it when she said something about, you're going to take me back to the Cordelia's not a princess dimension.
Yeah, she's like, you're in an awful hurry to get back to the dimension where Cordelia's not a princess.
I really enjoyed Angel looking in the mirror.
Yeah. Makes a joke about his hair.
Yeah, he's like, why didn't anyone tell me? Did this happen through the portal?
So he's like, no, it always looks like that. Then he says something else and she's like, you look good.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, you know, it probably has been a couple hundred years since he's seen himself.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know, that's kind of a weird thing to think about. And I like it when he's looking in the mirror again and the host goes, you can stare at yourself in my grandmother's glass eye. Oh, that made me laugh. And I have, that's his mom.
I know.
That was so great.
She was so funny.
I know. Yep. And then I love dance joy.
I like how Lord's like, you know how I said there's no music in this dimension? I wish I could say the same for the dancing. Yes.
And I just love how, I mean, I thought it was funny enough. You see the dancing for just a second, and then it like cuts to them. And then it cuts back, and he just keeps going.
He's just going. Still going.
So-and-so did the dance of joy for 3 millennia.
That's right. 3 moons.
3 moons. His house reminds me of the house in The Jerk. I don't know, old wooden house with a bad porch.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh. And then I have Wolfram and Hart. Really?
What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I thought we were going to see it come up over, you know, the rest of this episode and the next one, and it didn't. So I'm very curious what they have to do with this dimension. That really threw me.
Yeah, well, Wolfram and Hart is a... we've had the episode where they go down in the elevator and it's just L.A., right?
Oh, yeah.
And Holland just says they've always been around and they'll always be. And
so, like, the founders of Wolfram and Hart must come from this dimension then?
Not necessarily, but they've talked about the... they've talked a lot about the senior partners.
Right. Okay.
They kind of always remain a mystery, but I'll tell you that they probably aren't just human-sized lawyers that you would expect a senior partner. They're not like Hollins, but higher up in the ranks. In fact, I don't think this is spoiling anything, 'cause you never do see them. There's, I think this is one of the most fun Whedonverse theories ever is, okay, now, Cabin in the Woods spoilers ahead. You know, the people that control Cabin in the Woods
mm-hmm.
that come out at the very end, there's a Whedonverse theory that that's the senior partners.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Like the, Sigourney Weaver character?
No, at the very end, there's like this giant
oh, the giant arm,
that
arm
comes and like crushes the
oh,
world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Like those god things that just control the evil, you know? That's kind of the theory. It's, you know, just a fun theory that they're kind of the same thing.
Oh, how funny.
And like so it. That's, I like it, and that's how I picture the senior partners now.
It's just this giant arm.
Yeah, and they're just like these giant godlike things that just control the evil.
Right. Interesting. I like that theory.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, this is the first time you just kind of get a hint that, oh, wow, they're like an ancient evil. They're not just a, it's really not just a law office in L.A.
that has gone, like, corrupt.
Yeah.
Right. That, yeah, they're... Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked that little part. I was, like I said, I was very surprised by it. You know.
Yeah, me too. I remember going, whoa, when I saw that for the first time.
I liked it when the host, I still just call him the host, when Lauren calls Angel Hans Christian Tarantino.
That's a great line.
It's so dumb, but it made me laugh. And then I just love how much Angel's enjoying all the attention. Like, when they put that fur cloak on him and the necklace, and he's like, oh.
Again, this is totally Tim Minear, and he's the one that said, he's like, Angel isn't as funniest when he's cheap and vain.
That's true.
That's so true.
Yes.
So I think Mynheer kind of puts those little moments in when he's at the helm.
Yep. The host singing scene is hilarious.
They're all... what is this witchcraft?
It burns. It burns.
Yeah, it's just so funny to see his world and just how much he doesn't fit in.
Yeah, one of them says, like, what is this, some sort of sorcery or something?
Yeah, what is this, sorcery?
And then I wrote, prediction, I bet the Gruslog is going to be a really hot guy.
And then he's hot to her, but I don't know, I just...
Yeah, he's not my...
He is so not. I have a hard time believing he's attractive to anybody that unattractive to me. So not my type. It's like a, I guess, is it like a Fabio kind of a thing?
I guess so. I mean, yeah, they...
Just airheady, muscly... Blah, I don't know. Just
pretty boys, yeah, just not my thing.
Just have nothing to do with that.
Nope. I like little flaws.
Yes.
And brains.
And brains. And the eyes are weird. I don't know. And it just...
Yeah, the blue contacts I didn't like on him.
Yeah, they really... I guess... Maybe they were trying to make him a little unworldly looking.
That's what I was thinking.
I hope that's what they were trying to do. If they were just going for bright blue eyes, then fail.
Well, it was all... I mean, there was no pupil.
Hmm. So they probably weren't.
Yeah, I was thinking it was otherworldly. Like, because isn't he like half human and half something else?
Yeah, I don't quite know what he is exactly.
Yeah, his little story, I wasn't following it too. I couldn't really follow it.
Cordy did.
Like, exactly was like who he was and what his purpose was.
She was like rapt attention.
Yeah.
Basically, he's thought of as a outcast, dirty cow.
Right.
To them, but not to Cordy, and he's someone else, and these are two people that are prophesized in, like, you know, the most ancient,
right,
sacred writings that they've been waiting for, and they're in the form of, like, these two people they just wouldn't normally use as slaves and, you know, dirty, the untouchable kind of people. He seems a little more like an untouchable than cows, but I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, so it's just prophesied that they're going to mate, and then she's going to transfer her visions onto him.
Onto him.
And then she's to be killed after that. Her purpose is done. And then he's going to be the... And I don't know why he's...
That just
how
doesn't...
they knew he's the Gruselog. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just weird that the prophecy is that she gives her visions to him, and then he rules, but they treat him so badly. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they changed their tune after... But yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
He is marked to be the ruler. They treat him like dirt. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. Yeah. And the girl, the librarian girl, her name's
Fred.
Fred? Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it when how Angel tells her that they've made Cordelia like a princess. And she's like, when I got here, they didn't do that. That's nice for her.
They didn't do that.
She's like, that's nice for her.
What did you think of Fred?
Kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of annoyed.
I'm not surprised. She came back with them, so we'll...
Yeah.
We'll see. Who annoyed you at first, Anya?
Yeah, Anya annoyed me at first, but I got over that.
You may warm up to her, you may not.
Oh, am I going to see a lot more of her? I thought they were just bringing her back so she could just go home.
Okay, nope.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
She's here for at least a little bit.
Oh, interesting. I did not think that at all.
Oh, I thought you might, just because she's... I guess you don't know this, but she's known as a Whedon darling.
Oh. I
told you that she's Beatrice.
Right, right, yeah.
And Wesley is...
Right.
Who's it? Benedict.
Benedict. Oh, I thought they were just bringing her home. So, all the other people in Pylea who are, like, human-looking, they're all people that have just randomly gone through that portal then?
That's where I'm confused, especially the rebels.
Right.
Because they didn't seem like they ever were slaves, really. I don't know.
Yeah, I was really confused as to who they were and how they got to be who they are, you know? So I just kind of figured people just must have accidentally gone through that portal for, like...
Yeah, but how often could that happen? And it's... I'm assuming people age there.
Right. I don't know.
It doesn't make a ton of... Perhaps it's... You know, maybe some did. They never were captured as slaves, and this was, like, generations ago, and they've been breeding and just being their own free people.
Well, that makes a little bit more sense.
But kind of on the outskirts, you know, of society.
Right.
It's interesting, because it's not like you go back to Cordy, you know, and the Hellbeast kind of captures her, and the guy's like, hey, you found me a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real big deal. And he only sold her for a pig and a pint of some sort of alcohol, it sounded like.
Right.
Which I can't imagine that was very expensive. You know, it was probably something, but it wasn't like...
She's not an 8-cow woman.
Right, and I just imagine... Just giving the price and the way it was treated, it didn't look like it was a really big deal or...
Right.
Often, you know, it sounded like it was a fairly everyday thing. Almost like catching a wild boar or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, found this out hunting. I'll sell it at market. So, I don't know. I'm guessing that humans have come... Some get captured as slaves, and some have just been there and, you know, like I said, have been breeding and are just don't get captured.
Right.
Cordelia got captured because she was alone and had no idea what was going on.
Right. Okay. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that. Sure. If anyone else knows more, you can let us know. Because I've seen All of Angel, but I am by no means an expert.
So, my next note is, haha, I got it right. About the Gruslag.
You guessed he'd be
just a guy.
Not like a scary swamp monster thing that he sounded like.
Yeah, exactly. Then I have, ooh, Angel is a vampire on steroids here.
Yeah.
I like it when Gunn says, are you having a Blair Witch moment? When he and Wesley are together. Yep.
So, according to Wesley's explanation, which, you know, he's like the Hermione. You just, it's a great storytelling device to have someone super smart because they can always just like do explanations or what's
right.
it called?
Expository.
Yeah, they're the expository character because you just expect them to know stuff. So according to Wesley, Angel, the reason it's weird is that this dimension like totally separated him. So we've been seeing like human side. That's why the sun isn't affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what comes out when he does vamp out is like the pure demon inside of him. And
right.
on Earth, he can balance that. So you don't really see the demon. He just kind of changes a little bit. But it's kind of always there. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to explore that further. But, I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Kind of.
I didn't pay as much attention the first time I saw it. I just thought, oh, his vamp form just kind of comes out different, and that made sense to me.
That's what I thought, because everything's different. He can be in the sun, right. He can see himself, so I was like, oh, okay. So
when he vamps out, it's just different.
It's just a vamp on steroids.
You're right. But I don't know. Apparently we're supposed to trust Wesley's explanation. Sure.
I'll take it.
I don't know what it does for my like ongoing theories about vampires and demons in this world and how I don't like the thought of like an actual demon jumping into this body when they get
right
bit. I like the thought of it, just it makes more sense to me that when they get bit it creates a demon, which I guess is okay. It creates that demon inside. Fine.
Right.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatevs.
My next note is that gold coin top of Cordy's looks like grandma's purse that I have.
<It does. laughs>
And then I have, holy crap, no way. That's when the host head comes in.
Oh, yeah. How did you... Were you scared?
I was. I mean, if the next one hadn't started like 15 seconds later.
Well, yeah, this was something I really took into consideration going, do we want Sue to have to feel like the host is dead till we record again? Especially if it's going to be like 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
And I'm like, nah, this is one of those things that it's good to binge. And so I never wanted to separate these two so you wouldn't be like, I don't know.
Yeah, because I totally would have thought he was dead. Like, all right, his role has played out, I guess. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready for him to go because I like him.
Yeah, me too.
So, but yeah, for that 15 or so seconds, I thought he was dead.
It's really sad, you know, watching Cordy grieve over him till he pops his eyes open. You know, after you know what's going on. You probably didn't watch it twice. Because you're probably doing the same thing, you know, to a lesser extent. But, you know, after you've seen it and you know what's going on, it's kind of sad to see how broken up he is. And
mm-hmm.
feels so bad. It's totally her fault.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just moving into there's no place like Plertsgerb. Is that what it is?
Plertsgerb.
Plertsgerb.
There's really no way to really pronounce it.
Yeah, I was like, oh good, he's still alive. Kind of.
And there's some fun shenanigans with her holding his head. And
I know. Oh, we'll get to that. But yeah, I wrote down, I was like, wouldn't they know he could still be alive? If his body is still intact. So I was a little confused for some of this episode.
Wouldn't they know? Like who?
Whoever cut off his head. Because he says that his head is still alive as long as his body is still intact. But if they mutilate his body, it'll kill his head.
Right, but you saw the explanation to that, right?
Yeah, but not for a little while.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It takes a while, so that's why I was like, wouldn't they just mutilate his body right away? Because they'll know that he could talk to her, I think.
Yes.
And I liked it when that guy's head exploded.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, his head exploded. He. For some reason, I like heads exploding.
Something I never knew.
We had another. Don't their heads explode in Hush? In Buffy?
Yeah, they
and
do.
And I was like, ooh, their heads explode.
I guess I didn't notice. That you particularly like heads exploding.
I don't know why. I like it when Gunn says, I spend eternity in the arms of baby Jesus.
He's so mad at Wesley.
He's like, you're going to go
He's
to
like,
hell.
He's like, you burn in hell.
And I'm going to spend eternity in the arms of baby Jesus.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah, then I have, who are these guys that captured Wesley and Gunn? Are they people who came through the portal too?
Yep. Don't know. Have to make up your own explanations. Yep.
And then my next note is when Cordy is holding Lauren's head and she hugs the Gerst log and he all feels like somebody works out.
He's got his, like, cheek against his back.
Yeah. Or against his butt, I think.
Oh, is it? That's even funnier.
Oh, and I think that one guy, one of the rebels, is one of the Irish dudes in Sons of Anarchy. And then they show him again. I'm like, yep, totally him.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
The one with the long, curly hair in his eyes?
Not that one, but the other one that seems to be like his, the other leader. Like,
oh, the one that like looks at the picture and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is he like bald?
Kind of, like buzzed head, yeah. I like the whole Wesley and Gunn working with these rebel guys and them storming the castle. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's actually some interesting beats there with Wesley knowing he's sacrificing some people, kind of doing like a good leader thing, knowing he might have to sacrifice a few people to actually be able to do it. And he kind of gives pause for a minute, but does it, you know?
Yeah, does what has to be done.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Some leadership qualities coming out in Wesley.
Yeah, well, he is the leader now.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of any of the Angel and Freddy parts. I don't know.
Like in the cave and...
Yeah. Those scenes bored me.
Yeah, you can...
And I was like, Angel better get over himself.
They saw me. All that stuff.
Yeah.
We got Mopey Angel. We haven't had that for a while.
I really hate Mopey Angel so much. So all of a sudden, like, my rage. My rage from Buffy started rising.
Yep, Mopey Angel came. And, yeah.
Yeah, when he's, like, laying on the floor of the cave and shaking, I was like, oh, get over yourself.
They know you're a demon. I didn't know why that was such a big deal to him, I guess.
I know. They saw me like that. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, they've seen you a lot of ways, I Angel.
I know. They've met Angelus. I mean, I guess Gunn hasn't, but, you know, I don't know. It just seemed... I was just like, get over yourself.
Yeah. I felt the same way.
Good. Good, good. But he made up for it when they're back in the castle and Cordelia's throne room, and she's saying how she loves the Gerslog. Goose. I'll never say it right.
Gruselog.
Gruselog. And he's all, she loves me too, right?
He's like, you love me? Yeah. Not you. Not you, dumbass.
Not you, dumbass.
And then he gets a little complex. Yep.
So, is Angel in love with Cordelia?
Why do you think that?
Just, I don't know. He was so upset when she was mad at him, and so happy that he was back in her good graces, and then just so worried about her. And then this whole, she loves me? I don't know. He seemed like, ooh, I don't know. I was like, is there something going on here that I never realized before, you know?
Right. Well, I'm not going to answer that, but.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't think I would like that. I like him better, this relationship that they have.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope they don't go there.
Well, we'll see what happens.
And then I just have, where is this going? Are they bringing the Gruselog thing back to L.A.? I really thought. I was like, whoa, Cordy's in love with him? I wasn't expecting that.
Mm. Yeah. I was glad when they didn't. Because I thought they might too.
I know. I was a little afraid, and I was like, I started picturing in my head like him being dressed normal in LA and being a dumbass. I didn't like where that was going. So I prefer that the man that she loves is the ruler in another dimension. But it makes me think we're probably going to see him again somehow. I don't think they're just going to end that storyline. I don't think it's going to be a major, but I don't know. I'm guessing somehow Cordy, I don't know. I bet he comes to L.A. for something. Like maybe one of the jewels, because she did come back wearing that outfit. Maybe
she took back something important.
Something important, yeah. Some sort of stone or jewel or something. I don't know. I have a feeling we'll see him again. But I really did like that arc. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah. I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's a very... I didn't think Xena, because I've never seen Xena, but I was just... I just kind of like the cool, like, medieval... I was thinking more Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It wrapped up kind of nicely, too.
Yeah. I really like that change in tone, how happy they are walking into the hotel and then seeing Willow there and just everyone and even the audience just goes back to reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Buffy died and Angel doesn't know.
Yeah, that's right, because they were, and you hear Angel going, I get to be the one to say it, I get to be the one to say it. Yeah, he opens up the door and there's Willow.
Yeah, which again, I'm assuming you watched The Gift and then you watched There's No Place Like Plurt's Glurb right after it. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder what that was like.
Right. In real time?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see how Angel takes the news. I mean, I don't know if I was watching or not. I didn't see Allison Hannigan's name in, like, guest starring. So.
I believe it was there.
Was it?
I'm not sure. No, wait. This might have been one of those times where they held it. No, I don't remember. You might have missed it, or they held it. I feel like you missed it.
Either way, I'm glad, because if I would have seen, I would have thought she was going to somehow show up in the dimension in Pylea and, like, I don't know.
Solve things for them.
Solve things for them, because she's a witch, you know?
Well, I'll tell you.
So I'm kind of glad I wasn't, like, expecting her the whole time I was watching it, that it was like, oh, Willow, whoa, what's she doing there, you know? And then I was like,
now, that happened to the potential cast, because they were told they could not watch, like, there's no place like Plurskler before they had seen the gift, mm-hmm. and that's because of Willow being there at the end. And it caused them to come up with this huge theory about the alternate dimensions, and Buffy, like, they were fully expecting Buffy the whole time.
Oh.
Because Buffy jumped into this hell dimension and died.
Oh,
and so they thought she was going to end up in that one.
Oh.
And then come back with them, and that's how. And so they were severely disappointed and mad.
That's kind of a cool idea.
It is. It's a great theory.
Yeah.
That she jumps through there, and that's where she ends up, and then that's right. How she comes back to life. But nope. So they were just like, wah! They were just sure. They were positive.
I can see being kind of positive if you come up with a theory like that. Yeah,
especially being like, no, you cannot see
Plurskler
without seeing the gift. So they knew there was a crossover, because they're only told that if there's a crossover. And I actually told you that, but kind of I just tried to keep it on the DL. But anyway, yeah. But it is a great theory.
It is a good theory. But yeah, I really think if I would have seen guest starring Allison Hannigan, I would have been like, oh, somehow Willow's going to show up in this dimension. And I'm glad I wasn't expecting that. I think it would have distracted me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it when it showed the host's bar. What's it called again? What's the host's place called again?
Oh, Caritas.
Caritas. I was like, oh, I hope the car comes through.
Done and done. I
know.
He's like, I need to remodel anyway.
Yeah. I thought that was fun, seeing the car come crashing through. But, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, good stuff.
So, what's my next angel? We're not going to be doing angel for a while, huh?
About 3 weeks. Huh. But you do have 3 episodes you can watch.
Okay.
You'll be watching Heartthrob.
Okay.
That vision thing. And that old gang of mine.
Uh-oh.
I told you there was one more.
Oh, okay. So that's Gunn's gang. Because I was thinking Angel goes back to Sunnydale. And that's the old gang.
Oh, whoops. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Heartthrob. Well, okay. So they brought Fred back with him. And she sure seemed to like Angel. I think this is going to be about Fred being in love with Angel.
Mm-hmm.
That vision thing must be... Something's going on with Cordelia's visions. How they seem to hurt her more and last longer. And like her body, like even in this episode, or one of these, she says, I'm still vibrating or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think somehow, I don't know. It definitely has to do with Cordelia's visions. I think something's gonna manifest there somehow. I don't know what. Maybe she gives them to Fred.
Kisses her.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So, yeah, Cordelia passes the visions on to Fred, and that's why apparently she's in a few episodes. And then that old gang of mine is not the Scooby Gang.
If it was, what were your thoughts?
No, just that Angel goes back to Sunnydale and helps them defeat some demon that they need his help with or something.
Just quickly, have you watched your 3 Buffy episodes?
I have only watched one of them.
Bargaining Part 1 or Bargaining Part 1 and 2?
Bargaining Part 1 and 2. Yep. So, I know what happens.
Okay. I was just curious.
But there could still be, you know, something that they need Angel's help with. But that's not the case. Because I was hoping to see some Angel and Spike together. They're always fun. How much they hate each other. Which is weird. You know, the image Netflix uses for Angel still in season 2 has him and Spike together. It's a picture of Angel and Spike.
In Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Why do they have Spike? Why isn't it Wesley and Gunn or Cordelia?
Well, he's been on a few times and he does show up. You'll see Angel and Spike together is all I'm going to say.
Oh, good.
Whether it's flashbacks or he needs to come visit L.A. for something.
Good, because they're fun together.
They are fun together.
So,
I agree.
So cool. All right.
But yeah, it is kind of weird that they put that there, because it's almost like they're trying to, look, Spike comes on once in a while.
I know. Such a tease. Oh, just one more thing about the last one, the Plurch one.
Yeah.
Like, how mean Lauren's family is to him is terrible.
I know.
But I guess he did have to go back home to see that he really, really doesn't belong there.
I know. He's like, I needed to go back home to know that I don't need to go back home. Glad he worked that out.
But man, his mother is awful.
She is.
Did she say, I ate the wrong son?
Yes, that's just such a throwaway line. Your father was right, I ate the wrong son.
So, was he like a twin?
The way I look at it is that they, almost like animals, they must eat the weakling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something they do. That if they see a week, or unless it's something that they always eat one, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, I'm guessing it probably was like, I picture it like a little litter.
Right.
That's just what it seems. He was one of them they thought was the runt, and so you just like, I don't know if there's animals that actually eat it, but might. I don't know, we had a litter of kittens where there was one that had some problems internally, and the mother cat kept separating it and not letting it nurse. It would, like, leave it so, because it was going to die, because she knew there was no hope for it, and it was weak, and so she ignored it and didn't want it taking the milk of the stronger kittens.
Right.
We took it to the vet and let the vet kill it humanely. But yeah, well, not a vet as much as a friend of mine that was a professor at UVU that taught biology.
That was nice of you.
Yeah, we didn't, it was sad. It was Tiny's kitty.
Oh, was it?
We just didn't know what was going on. It was just weird. It wasn't a runt, it was actually a little bigger. Anyway, it's a little sad.
That's sad. Poor little kitten.
But she took care of it.
Yeah. So, Yeah, because his mom kept calling him the runt, or at least call him that a couple times.
Yeah, so I just love that that was just a total throwaway line and there's no explanation. And yeah, my imagination went to like a litter of...
a little litter of green demons.
Yep, a little litter of babies, and they're like, oh, we gotta get rid of this, eat this one.
I'm pretty sure that's what they wanted us to think. So, all right, well, I better get going.
Yep.
So the next thing we're going to try and record next, a Buffy season 5 recap, or just, I don't know, overall thoughts?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, cool. So.
Yeah. So next episode to expect, we'll be doing just a look back, general look back at Buffy season 5 and Angel season 2.
Okay, cool. And if you want to send feedback in for that, you can send it to SueWatchesBuffy@gmail.com or YesMotherPodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Facebook.
Yep. Leave feedback on Facebook. That's fine, too.
Yep.
All right, then.
Cool. I'm going to take a shower.
Okay. Well, I guess I will see you Friday night at our little sleepover.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So, I'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
My psychic friend told me I had to come back here. I didn't believe her. Then I realized I did have to come back here because I really always thought I had to come back here deep down inside, you know? I had to come back here to find out I didn't have to come back here. I don't belong here. I hate it here. You know where I belong? L.A. You know why? Nobody belongs there. It's the perfect place for guys like us. It's kind of beautiful, ain't it? I'm very moved if I do say so myself.
Please do.
get dressed for the gym, and I take Eleanor to school, and then I race to the gym, and I knew we podcast too, just didn't. Sometimes.
Sometimes brain not work.
Sometimes brain no worky. When I have two things scheduled at the same time, I'm well aware of both of them. I just don't combine the two, as in being
what happens
contrary to the other. It's like, yep, all that's happening.
Can't happen at the same time.
I know we're in a hurry, so. And I tell you, it was hard to walk out.
Oh.
In the middle of my workout, but I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. The things I do.
The sacrifices I make for the podcast.
Yes.
No, it's fine. It gave me a chance to do the dishes. Because I got up. Because I had watched the first one, I don't know, weeks ago after we recorded Belonging.
Right.
But I didn't watch the second one. Something must have come up, so.
Well, I think you were only supposed to, originally, you were only supposed to watch.
Two of them, right?
No, just one, I think.
Was
well,
it?
Okay. I thought it was just the one, and then.
I only have written down Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
I checked my notes. Okay.
And then we were going to do the Over Through the Looking Glass and No Place Like Thirtsclerb in a separate podcast. But I'm like, oh, hey, let's just do them all right now. We're in a time crunch.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I saw it, for some reason, I just thought there was two. So I got up at 7 this morning and was like, I can watch the two of them and then get the dishes done. And then I see that there's a third and I'm like, crap. So it worked.
Good.
I don't see any, but I don't know the password to Sue Watches Buffy.
Oh, what is the password? Shoot, what is the password? Let me look for a second. Oh, Bip. What would I have made it? Something about Spike, I wonder?
Probably. I love Spike.
I love Spike.
Spike rules.
I'll come up with it.
Are you there?
Yeah. We have two emails. I don't want to waste time trying to think of what I came up with. Pray no worky. I guess we should start the podcast.
We have a little over an hour.
Okay. All right. Who starts? Me?
Yep. And this is just getting tacked on to the Buffy, so we don't need to really intro it.
No.
We can just be like, why don't we start with some of the what we've been watching?
Yep.
Make it sound like we recorded it all at the same time. The magic of editing.
That's exactly what I said. Iggy said something on the Sue Watches Buffy Facebook page, and I just pretty much said exactly that. We're going to record tonight.
Oh.
And we're going to make it look like it was all recorded together through the magic of editing.
Ooh, weird. Because I'm not on that. I never did make the Schmooze and Schmeich Reidman.
I would have rejected that membership.
Oh, man.
Jay.
Alexander.
Do you remember that day you fell out of my window?
I sure do. You came jumping out after me.
Well, you fell on the concrete, nearly broke your ass, and you were bleeding all over the place, and I rushed you out to the hospital. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's something I never told you about that night.
What did you tell me?
While you were sitting in the back seat smoking a cigarette you thought was gonna be your last, I was falling deep, deeply in love with you.
Let me go home.
me come